This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest with me, T. Xiao Ik, Lim Soo Ann, and Juliet Jacobs. Earlier, we talked about the four new cases of COVID-19 that have been identified and confirmed here in Malaysia. And we just looked at, you know, what would contact tracing and surveillance look like for people who've been in close contact with, those confirmed cases of the infection. And for our second story, we have a question for you on social media.
Yes, we're asking you over on Twitter, would you attend a street protest for a cause that you believe in? And so far, about 62.5% of you have said yes, while another 37.5% of you have said no. So keep those comments coming in and take that poll. You can always tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899, or you can call us at 03-7733-2900.
So we're asking you that because we're still looking at the recent political developments that happened over the past 1 week, really, and especially, I guess, over the weekend. And as we're all aware now, Malaysia has its 8th Prime Minister. On Saturday, the Istana Negara had announced that Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin would be sworn in as the 8th Prime Minister, and the swearing-in ceremony took place at the palace at 10:30 on Sunday, 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. So right now, the opposition plans to push for a motion of no confidence against Tan Sri Muhyiddin in the next parliamentary sitting that is supposed to reconvene on the 9th of March.
But there were also two gatherings that happened in Kuala Lumpur over the weekend in response to, of course, all these political developments, particularly the appointment of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin as the Prime Minister. So on Saturday, the gathering started at 8:30 p.m. at Dataran Merdeka, and the rally was called right after Tan Sri Muhyiddin was announced as the 8th Prime Minister of Malaysia. And according to news reports, there was a crowd of about 200 people to voice their dismay at the developments throughout the week. And those present at the gathering included prominent lawyer Dato' Ambiga Srinivasan, activist lawyer Fadia Nadwa Fikri, and student activist Wong Yan Ki. And the crowd was also calling for a motion of no confidence as they saw the appointment of Muhyiddin as PM as undemocratic.
And yesterday, another rally was held at Sogo KL around 6:30 in the evening that involved about 100 protesters, also against the idea of this so-called backdoor government. There were placards with the words hashtag not my PM and uphold democracy, as well as chants of Hidup Rakyat. And before both of these rallies, the police had urged the public not to participate in the demonstrations. In a statement, Dang Wangi District Police Chief Mohammad Fahmi Visvanathan said that there was no notice for the assembly and Sogo is not gazetted as a protest venue. But, during both days, police personnel were present, but they didn't stop the protest.
But yesterday, the police criminal investigation department announced that Fadia Nadwa Fikri is being investigated for both sedition and the improper use of network facilities in relation to the demonstration on Saturday. So Federal CID Chief Dato' Huzair Mohamad stated that the investigation is being done under Section 41A of the Sedition Act, as well as Section 233 of the Communications and Multimedia Act.
So what does all these mean, these investigations, these laws, what are the requirements that someone would have to, an organizer would have to fulfill before they organize a peaceful assembly? What impact will this have on freedom of expression in Malaysia? So there's a lot of questions running around all the news that are coming up. So to get a better sense of things, both from the legal and civil society perspective, earlier today I spoke to Firdaus Husni. She's the Chief Human Rights Strategist at the Malaysian Centre for Constitutionalism and Human Rights. And I started by asking her, what are the laws involved when it comes to peaceful assemblies in Malaysia?
Now, the laws involved when it comes to assemblies in Malaysia, first and foremost, of course, the main reference here should be our federal constitution. And for that, we look at Article 10.1b. Yeah, mm-hmm. So Article 10.1b basically says all citizens have the right to assemble peaceably and without arms. So the key point here is that one has that right to assemble, and that assembly must be a peaceful assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so that's federal constitution, but we do have a specific law on assembly, and that is the Peaceful Assembly Act.
Mm-hmm.
This was passed in 2012, and as recent as July, there has been some amendments to that the Act, the Peaceful Assembly Act.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I would also like to add, which from what I see and not mentioned frequent enough, is that even under the Police Act, it also sets out the duty of police officers when it comes to assembly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Section 21 says that it shall be the duty of police officers, among others, is to prevent obstruction on the occasion of assemblies on public roads and streets.
Mm-hmm.
So these are, the laws in Malaysia that concerns Peaceful Assembly Act.
Mm-hmm. And, I think we're seeing a lot of confusion as well. Now, when does a gathering actually constitute an assembly? And I think we're seeing also a lot of words used like protest, rally, gathering. Is there a particular word that should be used?
So if you look at the Peaceful Assembly Act, it defines assembly as number one, intentional, number two, temporary. It doesn't exactly have a definite number of persons,
mm-hmm.
But it can cover situations whether or not that assembly is a moving assembly or that assembly is stationary.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it covers these features, that in itself is considered assembly as defined under the Peaceful Assembly Act. Rally, by and large, also means an assembly, and should be covered the protection under the Federal Constitution Article 10 and also Peaceful Assembly Act.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I think you mentioned some of it, but are there other requirements before a peaceful assembly can be held?
Okay, under the Peaceful Assembly Act, it mentions that organizers must notify the authorities before an assembly is to be held.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Peaceful Assembly Act was passed, it mentions that it has to be 10 days before the assembly. But after the July last year amendment, from 10 days, it was brought down to 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That notification, among the particulars that should be mentioned is, of course, details of the organizer, purpose of the assembly, place and time, proposed route, expected number of participants, among others.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for this is, as I mentioned earlier, when I talk about the section under Police Act, is to enable the police to facilitate that assembly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what are the consequences if these requirements, if the organizers don't follow these requirements?
Okay. So previously, and if you look at cases that has been brought to court, if an organizer fail to follow this notification requirement, then it will be regarded as a criminal offense,
mm-hmm.
And liable to a fine. But after the July 2019 amendment, this failure to notify will no longer be considered a criminal offense, but instead, organizer would then have to pay a certain amount of compound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And are there any exceptions for certain events that I guess don't have to follow these requirements?
So as far as I know from the Peaceful Assembly Act, if it is for the purpose of a religious procession, for example,
mm-hmm.
Then it will not be this Peaceful Assembly Act, that requirement will not apply.
Mm-hmm. Mm. We're seeing now in the news that some individuals who attended the gatherings over the weekend are being investigated under, from what I understand, Section 41 of the Sedition Act and Section 233 of the Communications and Multimedia Act. Could you explain and sort of break it down what this actually means?
So the one that I know would be the one concerning Fadia Nadwa Fikri.
Mm-hmm.
So she is investigated under Section 41A specifically, and that would be on attempts to do or preparation to do any act that is considered having a seditious tendency if carried out. And that is in reference to her tweet, basically asking people to gather at Dataran Merdeka a couple of nights ago. Mm-hmm. So because that is over, you know, over Twitter as the platform, mm-hmm. that is why the other section that she's also being investigated under is 233 of the Communications and Multimedia Act. Mm-hmm. For what it said here as improper use of network facilities or network service for transmission of any comment, request, suggestion considered as obscene, indecent, false, menacing or offensive. So I'm not quite sure actually which of these falls under, you know, what is happening with Fadia. According to, you know, the authorities' perception, I'm not even quite sure which of these description mm-hmm. Is what the authorities is going to go for.
So you mentioned seditious tendency, right? Could you briefly explain what that means?
So under the Sedition Act, seditious tendency covers a couple of situations. So one is where it is a tendency to bring into hatred or contempt or to excite a feeling of disaffection against any ruler or any government. Mm-hmm. And then another, if it is a tendency to raise discontent or, you know, feeling disaffection among the subjects of the ruler of, you know, any state or amongst the people of Malaysia. So there are a couple of other situations, but I would think in the situation concerning Fadia, this is probably the situations where the authorities are looking at.
Mm-hmm. So you know, you mentioned the amendments to the Peaceful Assembly Act earlier, and you know, we've also seen that, you know, Pakatan Harapan had previously committed to repealing the Sedition Act as well as parts of the Communications and Multimedia Act. And what impact will, you know, current investigations have, or sort of that this idea of possible curbing of freedom of expression, right? What impact will that have on, you know, on the future of freedom of expression as well as freedom of association and assembly in Malaysia?
Okay, so, you know, previously with the government under PH last time, there has been a couple of conversations. There has been some progress underway towards reforming freedom of expression, freedom of assembly and protection in Malaysia. Yeah, mm-hmm. And so from how, you know, over the last week or so, the way things are unfolding and the way we see how authorities are starting to go for people who have been voicing their expression, one, and two, people who have been organizing assemblies, I see that definitely this reforms, all this conversation that's on the way towards reforming peaceful assemblies, towards reforming rights of rights to expression, this will definitely be, you know, stalled. Yeah, I'm not even sure whether or not there's even any chance of this conversation to continue under the new government, under the 8th Prime Minister. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you already see instances of people putting their, for example, Twitter accounts on private when previously they don't. There's that culture of fear, mm-hmm. that is going back when this is something that was pervasive last time before the 14th general election. And that culture of fear is the old school way of dealing with anything, not just freedom of expression and freedom of assembly, anything concerning human rights of the people. So that is something that the civil society is very much concerned about.
Mm-hmm. So what avenues do civil society have then to voice their concerns?
Okay, so I mean, I can't help making the comparison with, you know, how it was under the PH government last time. But we cannot deny, and I don't think, you know, any of us also can actually deny the fact that under the PH government, there is an opening up of space. There was an opening up of space for civil society to voice their concerns, to work on proposed reform, and of course, to engage directly even with the government. But what I very much fear is that under this new government, that avenue to directly engage with the government is closing up pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
But what I see here, it doesn't mean civil society should stop working on these reforms that we want to see. What I see here is that we still have our allies, those that who we work closely with formerly and in government under PH the last time.
Mm-hmm.
We have, the international human rights community who is following the development, particularly on human rights reform in Malaysia, very closely.
Mm-hmm.
As well as, of course, like-minded citizens who, want nothing more than a government who protect their citizens' rights rather than, going back to the 3R, race, religion and royalty for their own political mileage. So I think what we should do here is that we and our allies should stick together and push the government to continue the reform agenda that we started.
So that was Firdaus Husni, Chief Human Rights Strategist at the Malaysian Centre for Constitutionalism and Human Rights.
Mm.
So, Firdaus was mentioned Fadia earlier, and she has released a statement in response to the investigations of the police on her. So she said that the police had, quote-unquote, singled her out for the gathering that was held on Saturday. So the Classified Criminal Investigation Unit from Bukit Aman has summoned her, and she said that she will be there on Tuesday, 3rd March at 11 a.m.
Mm.
And in her statement, she also goes on to say that the people have pushed against a government that had tried to divide and silence their voices and deny their rights for decades. But she says that, quote unquote, we have persevered and we will continue to do so.
So the Joint Action Group for Gender Equality, JAG, has also called for the police to drop the case against Fadia. In their statement, they wrote that it has been less than a day since Tan Sri Muhyiddin was announced as Prime Minister. For the people, the political situation in the country appears to be regressing. And JAG stresses that the people have a right to be heard so that their views are not sidelined or ignored.
Hmm. And based on the law, so an illegal peaceful assembly doesn't really exist. And that's actually because Section 27 of the Police Act 1967, which previously actually requires organisers to ask for a permit from the police before the assembly is organised, that was actually repealed in 2012. So as Firdaus mentioned, you don't really need a permit to organise an assembly. What you do need is that 5 days of notice. And if you don't provide that notice, what may happen is that the organizers may be subject to a fine.
Yeah, but what we're seeing in the case of Fadia is other laws coming in to be used against potential organisers of demonstrations. Yeah.
That's right. But, on that whole note of demonstrations, we did ask you over on Twitter in a poll whether you would attend a street protest for a cause that you believed in. And almost 61% of you have said yes, while just slightly over 39% of you have said no. So we did get some comments on that poll. BGBK says that depends on who the organizer is and their objectives.
Mm-hmm.
Muddin says that, we are in a cooling off period. Let's be calm and move forward. But this question is really about something that you believe in. It could be climate change. It could be anything, We're just asking whether you think it's, the whole act of protest and street rallies still works and whether you would actually participate in it.
So it's not, when we talk about freedom of expression for our society, we're looking long term, we're looking big picture here.
That's right.
We're looking at many social issues that people feel the need to express because they are directly affected by these issues.
Yeah, and they want it to be as vocal and as public as possible, right, to garner as much attention to the cause as possible. Iqmal Hisham says that he has to say no because of COVID-19. I think a lot of people are feeling that. Aren't you, Suan, as well?
I think so. I mean, the first thing I think of when I see a lot of the gatherings that happen, not just the protests, but any mass gathering, I feel like it's at the back of everyone's mind that, look at how many ways the virus can transmit.
Yeah, well, you've been doing too many health shows.
Yes.
But, probably if some enterprising person wants to go in and start distributing hand sanitizers.
Or selling them, right?
Yeah.
And and masks as well. Yeah. Another comment we got was from It's Faisal. He says, for a cause you believe in, yes. For politicians, no. We also got just a few responses over on WhatsApp. Leong Chui Fung said that for a rally for a cause, yes, of course. Mm-hmm. Yo Leng Sui said simply, yes, he or she would. And Kevin Lau said that yes to street protests for a good cause. So I think the underlying factor is it has to be for a good cause and something that they believe in. Yes, yeah. they would do it.
And certainly, I mean, I agree with It's Faisal, not for a politician, because, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I think we've seen what comes of supporting figures. Mm. What we want are supporting causes for the people's interests.
But what if we need that politician to get that cause across?
It's too many questions. But, you know, if you still have any of these thoughts, if you have questions just like we do, you can continue to tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also drop us a message on our Facebook page. We are at BFM The Bigger Picture. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast on bfm.my/dailydigest, on our BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up after the 3 p.m. news, Juliet Jacobs will be staying around for Earth Matters. And meanwhile, we'll leave you now with Jimmy Cliff, Many Rivers to Cross. I think that's a message to all of us Malaysians to hang in there. This is the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.